This chazar zeichen neshbel chichas chishag b'mem yehudim mesechta chesubot afchav dalet. Zok the mishnah similarly, if there are two men and each says he's a kohen, they're not believed. However, they testify regarding each other, they're believed. Rabbi Yehuda says we don't elevate someone to the status of a kohen based on a single witness. Rabbi Elazar says that's only true if there are challenges to that status. However, when there are not challenges, we do elevate him to that status of a kohen even based on a single witness. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Nimr Rabbi Shimon Askan says that we do elevate a person to kohuna based on the testimony of a single witness. Fact to Gemara, why do we need all the previous mishnayos which each taught the same concept of pesha asa pesha hitter? Mark explains if we only have the Mishnah where Rabbi Yeshua agreed that where the person admitted that the field belonged to the other one's father, and he says he bought it from him, we would think that we only believe him in that case because where his admission opens himself up to a loss of money. However, in the case where the witnesses say that they were forced to sign a document where there's no such loss, we would think that we don't believe them. If we would just say this second case, we would think that they're believed because they're testifying for others. However, in the first case, when the person testifies for himself, we would think that maybe we don't say Pesha as a Pesha Hitter. If we would have just these two cases, we would say in monetary cases they're believed, not in cases of Isser. That's why we also needed the case of the married woman who says she got divorced. Finally, the case of the woman who says she was captured but not violated is only needed to teach that if the witnesses came after she got married or received the heter to get married, she doesn't have to leave a second husband or the heter to get married. And according to the view that this was said on the case of the woman who says she got divorced, the chiddush of the case of the captured woman was that even when there are two captured women and we should possibly be concerned for reciprocity and testimony, we're not concerned. The reason that our Mishnah gives the case regarding the men who claim the status of a kohen, the reason why our Mishnah is needed is to teach the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. The Gemara Braisa says if two people say about each other, I am a kohen, my friend is a kohen, they're believed to be allowed to eat truma, but not to marry a woman of pure lineage, unless there are three men to the group and each two say testimony about the third, so you have two kosher witnesses about the other one. Rabbi Yehuda says that they may not even eat truma unless there are three men, with each two giving testimony about the third person. The Gemara would seem that the Rabbanon are not afraid that two people will collude to give reciprocal testimony, and Rabbi Yehuda is concerned for that happening. However, a mission says that the Rabbanon say that a donkey driver is not believed to say, my grain is not yet separated, my friend's grain is. And Rabbi Yehuda says that he is believed. Presumably, it's because Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned for collusion, the Rabbanon are. It seems to be soiser. So Rabbi Adar Bar Hava Neim Rav said, we have to reverse the Shitas. Abaye said, we don't have to reverse the Shitas. The reason Rabbi Yehuda is more lenient in this case is because we're generally more lenient when dealing with Demai. Rava asked, that doesn't explain the contradiction between Shita and the Rabbanon. Where he said, this contradiction can be answered by using a statement of Rav Chama Bar Ukva, that the cases where the donkey driver had the utensils used for selling the grain, he had them in his hand. This shows that he clearly wants to sell his grain. The Rabbanan say that the only reason he would praise his friend's grain over his own would be if he was colluding with him. The Gemara says we consider machlekes is based on whether giving someone to eat truma would make someone treat the person as genealogically fit as well. Malin truma lo yuchsin. Rabbi Yehuda says it does, which is why we can't allow him to eat truma because then they'll treat him as a kohen for yuchsin. The Rabbanan say it does not, and that's why we can allow him to eat truma because it's not going to have an effect on his yuchsin. They ask, can we elevate someone who's referred to in a document as a kohen to the status of a kohen for yuchsin? I mean, the case would be where the lender refers to himself as a kohen and witnesses sign the document. Do they say they're only signing regarding the underlying transaction, or do we say that they're signing to everything written in the document, including the fact that this lender is a kohen? So Rav Huna and Rav Chista argue. One says that we do say that the Edom are signing even to the fact that he's a kohen. The other says that we do not. They ask, can we elevate someone who duchened to the status of a for yuchsin? Meaning, do you say malin from duchening to yuchsin? So this can be asked according to the view that we elevate from truma, because it may be that we only elevate over there since the eating of the truma by a non-kohen carries a death penalty, bidei shemayim, and maybe that's why over there malo the truma, but maybe from duchening, maybe not malim, because it doesn't have such a terrible punishment like that. And it could also be asked according to the view that we don't elevate from truma, because it could be that only over there by truma we don't elevate, because truma is done in private. With regard to the public act of duchening, maybe we say it is malal yuchsin, because someone wouldn't have the chutzpah to do so publicly, to bench, to do duchening publicly, unless he was truly a kohen. So what's the halacha? So Rav Chista and Ravina argue. One says that we do, and the other says that we do not. Rav Nachman Yitzchak asks Rava, do we elevate from duchening to giving the status of genealogically fit to yuchsin? The Rav says machlokes between Rav Chista and Rav Avina. He asked him, how do we paskin? So Rav said, I can bring a proof from a braisa, because Rav Yehuda says in a braisa the power of chazakah is great, because we see in a pasuk that kehanim whose lineage come into question were told that they may not eat kodesh hakadoshim. This suggests that they were allowed to eat truma. The pasuk is teaching that based on their chazakah of having eaten truma previously, they may continue to eat truma. Now, since Rav Yehuda bases this on chazakah, it must be that just as they were allowed to continue eating truma, they would be allowed to continue duchening. Now, if we're concerned that people will elevate from duchening to yuchsin, we would not allow them to duchen. It must be that we do not elevate me from duchening to yuchsin. The Gemara says, no, maybe only here we're not concerned that people will elevate their status because their chazaka was weak in that all knew that they had issues with their lineage. If we don't say this, we would have the same concern when we how do we allow them to eat truma according to the view that we elevate from truma to yuchsin. Mara says, we must say that the statement of the power of chazaka is great. When he made that statement, is meant in the sense that initially kahanim in the pasuk only ate truma derabanan, and they were now allowed to eat even truma. We can also say that these kahanim were only allowed to continue eating truma derabanan. The reason that we're not concerned that they would be elevated to yuchsin was because that only happens to kahanim who eat truma deraisa. What was meant by chazaka is great that we allow them to eat truma derabanan and not concerned that it will lead them to even eat truma deraisa.